We've been in this precious journey of the masterpiece of grace that we find in the book of Ephesians. And we see that this is speaking again of that great grace that the Lord has given us all of it to work in us the masterpiece of his grace. Hallelujah. And we've been journeying through this sixth chapter in this precious warfare, the armor, the whole armor of God. And thank you, God, how he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. This is something we don't beg him for. We have it. He's given it. I thank God. How shall he not also freely give us all things? That was said after the Father, after he gave his Son so freely to us. How could he not? And that's the truth. He has given us everything. And we thank the Lord together tonight that this is what we're here to enjoy, is the incredible grace and mercy that the Lord has poured such great favor upon our lives with this truth. Now, as we begin tonight, we're venturing into verse 17. And we thank the Lord last week. We have taken the helmet of salvation. And now it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, in the Old Testament, there's the expression, the sword of the Lord. And we thank God, the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Lord. We have the sword of the Spirit here, but in the Old Testament, it was the sword of the Lord. And the sword of the Lord, it would say, would devour its enemies. The sword of the Lord would slay. But here in the New Testament, it's become something even with more fullness to us. It's the sword of the Spirit. I'd like you to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll read from verses 12 and 13. That's Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13. And the Apostle Paul telling us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we thank the Lord that we know that this sword of the Spirit, praise God, makes all things manifest. And I want us to think about this for a minute, the sword of the Spirit. Well, we know that the sword is the Word, and we know that the Spirit is the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, when we have spirit and truth, or the truth and the spirit, it allows us to see all things, as it tells us here, all things unveiled. We begin to truly see with the very eyes of God. He gives us his vision, and he gives us, yea, the deep things of God vision. And let's venture on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in what the Spirit now shows unto us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and this is such a precious pattern and such sovereign truth of the reason for Pentecost, the reason that the Lord, praise God, gave us the Holy Ghost, the reason that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. As he said, if I don't go to the right hand and send you the Holy Ghost, he won't come. I have to go to send him. So he ascended and he sent the Holy Ghost. And as he told those disciples, he's been with you and shall be in you. And he told them the reason for it. He said, there's many things. Jesus said to them, I have many things to say unto you. And he'd been with his disciples for 3.5 years, day and night. And he told them, I have many things to say unto you. But he said, you can't understand them now. You just can't understand them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost, who I'm going to send, he will guide you, he will lead you, he will reveal unto you all truth, all truth. He'll unveil it. He'll allow you to see, yea, as we're going to read right here, the deep things of God in 1 Corinthians 2. Let's read from verse 9. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I think I'm around a lot of people that love Jesus tonight. You love Jesus? Praise God. We wouldn't be here at a Bible study, I believe, if he didn't have that love in our hearts to love him, to want to know more about him, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And you know, the sad part is most Christians quit reading at verse 9. They say, well, see, I can't know anymore. It's just so wonderful. It's so awesome. And no heart has ever even imagined what God has prepared for me because I love Jesus. And verse 9 is enough. But it's not. It's just the beginning of it. And basically, it's setting it up to what the Lord has given us in the Holy Ghost. And here it is. But God. And it's always but God. And when you hear but God, it means, whoa, there's a more a-coming. I mean, the exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think is coming. Because that's what our God does every single time. It says, but God hath revealed unto us, by who? By his Spirit. That one that he sent to the right hand of the Father to send. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. Praise the Lord, the power of his might. So he sends him to us. He says, but God hath revealed them unto us. And what did he just say? What things? Yea, it says unto us by his Spirit. Those things which are hidden, the things that man can't understand, that haven't entered into the hearts of men, that eye hasn't seen, that ear hasn't heard. What did he just say here? All those things, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He didn't say that God would. He said God has. Once again, it's done. It's there if you want it. This is it. This bridal message, this wonderful, these epistles of Paul, this is why Paul is bringing this forth. I know this, praise God, because God revealed it to me for you. How powerful, how wonderful. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Isn't that glorious? And it's all things. For what man knoweth, let's go on, the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And how much of the freely things of God have we been given? All things. Nothing is withheld from us. We've been blessed with it all. We have it all. And we freely have been given it all. I love how the Lord really underscores that. Freely given it to us. And hath given it to us. It's just so glorious. We have it all. Praise God, we've won. If you have it all, if you have it all, what else is there? Do you really believe you have it all? Praise God, I hope you do. And it's here. But the thing is as we've heard over and over, but we got to know our birthright. We got to know the riches that we have been given. My goodness, brothers and sisters, born of God, once again, Galatians 4:1, we're born Lord of all. Lord of all. That's the birthright we have. That's the DNA of Christ. That's the life of Jesus Christ that we have. Hallelujah. Lord of all life. Praise God. But it clearly states right after that, but if we don't grow in that life, even though we are heirs to everything, everything, because we have it all, right? Is there anything that's withheld? No, there's not. We have it all, and we've been freely given it all. But if we don't know what we have, we'll never enjoy it. And you're going to know what you have here. What you know what you have here is what you will enjoy over there. That will be the capacity of the cup that's full. And I love that. I want that. I want it all. And praise God, the beautiful thing is he's given it to us. And he's given us everything. And he's given us everything to see and to know. Amen? Amen. The things which I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. And here's the things. The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Aren't you thankful how you love him? I love that I love him as my bridegroom. I love that I love him as my spouse. I know, yea, those deep things. I have that revelation, praise God. And not because I thought of it or concocted it. No, it tells me right in here, all over this precious word. There is something to get excited about, and it's right here. So we thank the Lord that we have been given all things. It makes, and what happens here with this sword of the Spirit is it makes things real and apparent. I thank God it makes mine eyes to see. We have enlightened eyes of understanding. That's what the sword of the Spirit is. We know. Hallelujah. We're going to get hit by things. We understand that. But see, the sword of the Spirit, the standing in defense of the gospel of Christ, with the sword of the Spirit, I'm not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I'm not double-minded about stuff. No, no, no. We see things that are not. We see the substance and the evidence of the things that are. Our hope is alive. It's real, praise God. I'm just waiting for it to be made manifest. I'm not hoping if it's coming, praise the Lord. I'm just believing if it be the will of the Lord, it's coming tonight. See, I don't know if I got another breath, but I know one thing I do, God, I got a crown. Hallelujah. Because the Bible tells me so. And you can bank on that. Hallelujah. So now, we see the things, hallelujah, that are not. And we call them as though they were. Hallelujah. And it's because we have the sword of the Spirit. We have the sword, the Word, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. In that, brothers and sisters, we have all truth and love. And what does the Bible tells us when we speak truth and love? We grow up into him in all things. Because we have all things. So if you have all things, and you're fully equipped with all things, and you've been given all things, now do you understand why you can grow up into him in all things? Isn't that beautiful? See, you're fully equipped. You have it all because you have the life of Christ. He gave you his very life. It's just all so perfect. It has no seam. It's just one. It's not hodgepodge together. It's just one. It's a glorious one. Hallelujah. And it's always the same. So, brothers and sisters, this is all the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost over all things. The reason is because all this truth and love, the sword of the Spirit, all it sees is grace. All it sees is mercy. Praise the Lord. And that's all you have. Where there is no law, praise God, there is no sin. And it's either grace or it's works. And if it's no more works, then it's grace. And if it's no more grace, then it's going to be works. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Now, I love how Christ Jesus showed us this. Showed us this in many ways, but he showed us this as a man when he was made one of us. The Spirit taking him into the wilderness. The Spirit took him into the wilderness. Isn't that something? The Spirit took him into the wilderness to be tempted. Praise the Lord. So we have the Word and we have the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have Jesus in the Spirit. Praise God. Well, we know nothing can stand against that. The devil sure knows now, but he's pretty stupid and he'll continue to try. But see, the Spirit took him into the wilderness, the devil doing everything to try to tempt him. And every time, praise God, the sword of the Spirit prevailed, it is written. Praise God. And we have that same. Amen, we do. Because we have everything. Amen. Do we have all everything of his? We sure do. He hasn't withheld a thing. And here the Holy Ghost is taking the things of Christ, which you have them all, and show them unto you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing tonight. These are things that we know, but we sure need to be encouraged in them, don't we? It says even in the Word of God, giving the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. This is something, by the grace of God, I got to hear not only every day, I got to hear every moment. I need this to encourage my heart in the Lord. And I praise God for that. I'm so thankful I'm in this weakened flesh vessel because I know I need Jesus. I know I need him. And I don't need him just on Sunday, Wednesday, or whenever it is. I need him every single moment. I need this word, praise God, to be encouraging me. Hallelujah. And carrying me along. Hallelujah. Lifting up my hands. Lord God, make my feet like hinds feet. Don't let me slip, Lord Jesus. Let me be confident in the grace of God that is with me. And the grace of God that is for me. And the grace of God, praise God, that will overcome every foe. And we thank the Lord for these things. Now, Jesus showed us in complete weakness. That's how the Spirit took him out there, in complete weakness. But in complete weakness, what's strong? The Word and the Holy Ghost. When the truth and love grips our hearts and our lives, we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're strong in the Word and the Holy Ghost. The sword of the Lord. We started with that. Do you know that was Gideon's cry? The sword of the Lord, the sword of the Lord. But you know what? He never had that cry till God whittled it down to 300 men. He had to make him weak before he could have the cry of the sword of the Lord. So we thank the Lord. We know it's going to be done in that perfect weakness. And brothers and sisters, I really do believe this. I believe we're in the final battle. I do. I know that there's things are moving, but this is it. We're at the finish line. And compromise is invading the church. And you know that. And it's not from an observation. The Word of God tells us this. It says in these times before the Lord coming, the man's not going to endure sound doctrine. They're going to be given over to itching ears. They're going to want to hear all of these different winds of doctrine. They're not going to stand in the truth. The love of many is going to wax cold. And you understand there's only one love, and that's the love of Jesus. But what happens is people begin to fall asleep because they're not adhering to the Word of God. They're going after other things. They have other loves. They start to twist the gospel of Christ. The gospel is so watered down in so many places today, it's a shame. But brothers and sisters, you take the sword of the Spirit, you be inspired by the Holy Ghost, and in truth and love, you'll stand. Amen. When you're in love, you'll stand. It doesn't matter what comes against your lover, you'll defend your lover. Yes, you will. And you'll stand thankfully in that defense of this gospel. You'll go on conquering every foe. There'll be many hurtful things, and we all know that. But that's part of suffering together with Jesus Christ. You will never reign with him if you don't suffer. You're going to be separated unto him. He's going to do it, and that's his choice. When we wield the sword of the Spirit, praise God, and the Holy Ghost has to do it, and it is the grace of God. When you wield that, praise the Lord, you can be only one thing, and that's a full overcomer. Believe in it. Hallelujah. And I thank God. The deep things of God are fighting for us. We go into the wilderness just as Jesus Christ did. And I thank God we suffer together with him. We suffer in manifold temptations. But we know that the Spirit and truth is leading us. It's conquering all the way because we have it all. And again, if I have it all, then I've already won. If I have it all I'm doing is standing in defense of what I have. Amen. I thank the Lord. I've got it all. And as Joshua said, he's a very old man. Oh, there's more land to walk through. Well, sure, but it was his. The Lord had already given it. He just wanted to go out and enjoy it some more. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're just walking through all of it again and again and again and again and again. And the beautiful thing is, it's amazing what you see with beautiful things. When you find something really, really beautiful, you don't just go look at it once. That's why by the grace of God, you marry it. You understand what I'm saying, huh? You want to see it every day. This is your true spouse. This is the true one. And he adores you. And he's the one that looks at you moment by moment. And all he's doing is he's drawing us constantly in his love. Constantly. Trying to allow us to see more and more and to hear him and believe, I am in love with you. In love. I've put you in this time. I've put you in this place. I've given you all truth. I've given you this message of the bridal truth. My heart, the fullness of it. The better thing. I brought my friends here to even enjoy with me as I dote upon you. Know your Bibles. It says the friends of the bridegroom are waiting for the bridegroom's voice. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so thankful we believe. Now, it's wonderful. And what's wonderful is we take the sword. And the beautiful thing is you take the sword and I take the sword. Thank the Lord. Praise God. And we don't watch one another in a sense. We're in the battle with him together. Praise his name. And love causes us to desire it, doesn't it? Love causes us to pant for the battle. There was a brother in the Word of God, I thought we remember, that panted for battle. Matter of fact, his mighty men had to stop him. They said, David, you're getting a little up there. You're long in the tooth. You need to stay back. He didn't like that, did he? How about the mighty man? The one who was weeping. Could you see the mighty man that was like the killer of killers and he's crying? And they said, you know, what's wrong? There's no more heads to take. He wanted to get out there. Lord, put that in my heart. See, that's Paul saying, I glory in my infirmities. Now, that's a step up. You understand what I'm saying? When you're in the action and different things, like God shows you a Goliath, and in a sense with David, to get excited about the Lord, oh, I know he's with me, I know he's for me. Who are you? How could you do this, you uncircumcised Philistine? I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. But see, what a bigger giant is the infirmity that the Lord will send your life. Oh, yes. The thorn. When the Lord knows what you need and I need, and he sends the messenger of Satan to buffet you, to beat you. Because he knows you have to be in perfect weakness. With the knowledge that's been revealed to us, just as Paul, if God didn't divinely do these things, if God didn't divinely gear us exactly how we are, we would get puffed up. We would think that somehow we merited something in this. That somehow because of what I have with this crown that he's given me, that it was because of something that I did, as opposed to always pointing to the cross and to say, you completely finished it. Now, that's the love that takes us to the battlefield. That's the love, praise God, that causes us to be an honor and a privilege to be alongside him. And brothers and sisters, this is readying us for our time, praise the Lord, when we'll have, and I love having that bronze statue of the horse. The wrath of God. And he's pointing. It's a little liberty in the art, but he's got the sword in his mouth. And you can just see the fire in his eyes. Well, I'm going to tell you what. We're going to see it like this close. Because we're going to be riding side by side. And I don't have to do this because the cherubim will have eyes everywhere. So I can see here, there, out, and in. But you're not going to somehow amazingly see it over there. if you're not seeing it here. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. There will be a performing of those things that the Lord spoke unto you. I'm so thankful the Spirit gave me an ear to hear. Oh, to hear. And to hear, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is just like Gideon with his little 300. They were a happy band. How's that little band going to be with Christ coming back? Hallelujah. Now, this sword, I want you to know, was actually a small sword. Remember how we had the big old shield? It wasn't a small shield. That was a big shield. That big old rectangular, boom. You set it down and you stand in defense. This sword actually speaks of a sword that was a curved sword, a small sword. It was a sword specifically to repel an attack. A sword, praise God, that the one that would wield it was someone that was nimble and skillful. Reminds me of one I read of that Paul speaks of in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go on over there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, what does he tell? Paul tells to Timothy. At the very end, he says to him, study. Study, honey. Study to show thyself approved unto God, pleasing. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. That's the sword of the Spirit, see. That stuff comes in and all. Thank the Lord we know. And it's not because of my knowledge. It's because of his faithfulness. It's because he put a love in our hearts. Here we are at a Bible study to learn and to know more. And to continue to grow in this. And to grow strong. See, we know that we want faith. Every Christian wants faith. You do, and you want great faith. But faith comes one way. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can add that right up. The more you're going to hear of the word of God, the more that you'll take of the word of God, the more that you'll continue to keep hearing of the word of God, the greater your faith will grow. The more you'll believe. Thank the Lord. Well, praise God, I'm so thankful. And you can take that here. The more depth of the word of God, the deeper, praise God, in faith you will grow. Amen. That's why, praise the Lord, he gave us the Holy Ghost. We can have through the Holy Ghost what's known as the most holy faith. The most set apart, if you will, the deepest, the highest, the widest. The breadth, the length, the depth, the height. To know the love of Christ. That's the faith. That's the faith. That's the faith that knows him as my spouse. Praise the Lord. So we thank God in this, and we thank him richly. It says, again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Thank you, Jesus, that we can stand in defense of the gospel like this. These are ones that would stand and guard the kingdom, the treasure, against anyone that would be trying to kill or steal or destroy it. The treasure, brothers and sisters, is right here. Amen. This is where the treasure is. It's in the earthen vessels. It's in your heart. Praise the Lord. I thank God. We stand in defense of the gospel of Christ. And we stand with him. And praise the Lord. We stand with him. We stand together. And that's when, praise the Lord, you set that shield of faith down. And boom. And it's won. It's just won. It's impenetrable. It cannot be penetrated. Hallelujah. But this is the treasure in our hearts. The sword, brothers and sisters, we started out tonight, it discerns the heart. It discerns the intent of the heart. I thank God for that wielded sword. It makes the cuts necessary to bring forth nothing but the diamond for the crown. Oftentimes we think of that sword that I'm cutting up out here. By the grace of God, I need to let that sword cut up in here. Amen. I believe David said, Lord, if there be the word, if there be the sword of the Lord, if there be for us the sword of the Spirit, if there be any wicked way in me, search me. Search me. Isn't that so glorious? Here's this message of Paul. Search me, Lord. Why am I going after the bridal message? I love him. I love him. That's it. I do. I'm not trying to prove nothing. I'm not. Promise by God's grace. I go after this because I love him. Because he loves me. And he loves me in this capacity. And he's shown me this. And I want to go. I want to go. Not just willing and grudgingly. Oh, sometimes. You know. We all know. But then it's him again that whispers to us. And you hear him. And you hear the voice of your beloved. And then you say back to him, I am yours. My beloved is mine and I am his. I am my beloved's and his desire. Oh gosh. It's all because of your desire that is toward me. It's captivated me. I'm drawn. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overcome. I'm sick of love. That's why we go. We know that story, don't we? And that treasure, praise God, is in here. And that sword, praise the Lord. Yes, at times it's external. But for me, I'll admit to you, my greatest foe is me. My greatest foe is me. And I think if you're honest with you, you'll understand it's you too. I say to the sword constantly, who is my precious bridegroom, I thank God I know it's in your faithfulness you afflict me. And I thank God how that truth truly does afflict my heart. It chastens me. It softens me. It wakes me up. It causes me to settle down. It protects me always. It protects me from me being critical. It protects me from me being legal. It protects me from being prideful. It protects me from being self-righteous. It protects me from being carnal. It protects me from sin reigning upon my life. Gives you a whole different way to look at what fighting the good fight of faith is. He's telling me he's telling me some things. I don't know if we're ready for that yet. We'll check that one before the Lord. Now, I want you to remember something back there in the tabernacle. And I mentioned a little bit on Sunday. Remember the lampstand there? And so basically, you know, you go into the courtyard of that tabernacle and then you see the tent is inside there. And that tent was two parts in there. You had the holy place walking in first, and then the very back part was the Holy of Holies where you had the ark and the cherubim. Praise God. Well, when you walked into the tent, when you walked into the holy place, the very first thing that you saw was the candlestick, all right? And that candlestick was so necessary because there was no outside light in that holy place. There was no light at all except from one source, and it was the candlestick, all right? And that candlestick, as the word showed us, has those seven stems on it. All right? And there's seven little, tiny little cups on the top of each one of those stems. And upon each one of those, in those little cups, they put oil. And then in those, that oil, they put a wick. And that wick, praise God, would be lit. And that light from that candlestick would light up everything. Now we know, as we study that, we know that that golden candlestick is the Holy Ghost. When you walked into that holy place, you were walking into the church age itself. Everything on the outside was bronze, brass, and judgment. Everything once you went into that tent was gold. Praise the Lord. It went from serving to reigning. And praise God, we have stepped into the age of reigning, and that's where we're at. And we're thanking God together. But you'll never see anything of the reigning without the Holy Ghost. He lights it all up. The very first thing from that light was what? It was that little table, the golden table of shewbread. That tiny little table that the Lord shows you. It's so tiny, only two could sit there. It's the most romantic place there could ever be. It's where the courtship really starts and encourages. From there, from the Holy Ghost and that wonderful encouragement of the love that you're loved with, there's only one thing you can do. You got to go worship. And there, the next thing there was that golden altar of incense. Amen? And what is worship? Drawing nigh unto him in fervent love as is to kiss. See, when the Holy Ghost begins to minister and shine that light upon the immensity of the love of Christ, and the Lord personally ministers to you. I love you. I love you. Will you take me as your husband? Oh, and my goodness, when you say I do, the only thing you can do, Sister Mai, is to continue just to, oh, Lord, I've got to kiss you. And that's the worship. That's the worship. And then, oh, when you're at the worship, what flows up? It's just that sweet-smelling incense to him. Praise the Lord. But back to that candlestick. I want you to think about this. Those wicks, it said that the priests had to tend to morning and night. Those wicks had to be cut. They had to be trimmed. And the reason is because those wicks always had char on them. They had a char from burning. We've always got a char on us. Yep. But there's something so beautiful about the trimming, the word, the sword. It continues to chip a little bit more of us away. And allows that precious oil to come into that wick and to burn bright. As the wick would get more char, it would start to dim. When it would start to dim, it was even said that you could actually see the char a little bit. But once that char was trimmed away and that oil was absorbed into that, it began to burn so bright again, that wick disappeared and all you could see was the glory of the Lord. Do you see? That's what the Spirit of the Lord does. That's what, praise God, the Holy Ghost and the truth does in your life. And that's why, by the grace of God, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be saturated with the Holy Ghost. I so thank the Lord we have prayer service after every service in here. I don't wait till Friday or Wednesday or Sunday, and then by the grace of God, I hope you're going to town with the Holy Ghost as you're getting dressed, driving to work, wherever it is. And that's just part of it, you know. But it's a blessed part. And as Paul said, I'm glad I speak more than ye all. You know your word. Don't let others cause your light to go down. Huh? Let it burn. Praise God. So we thank God that we know these things. And I thank the Lord this is what the sword of the Spirit does. And it does this, praise God, in the cherubim saints. And this is how we'll end up tonight, as we'll go on over to it. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 13. I guess this really is a Bible study, isn't it? This is speaking of the cherubim. Hallelujah. We see those four living ones, the cherubim. We see them in Revelation. That company that's in the midst of the throne, the company that represents the bride of Christ, the company that is the worshiping company. Praise the Lord. And here Ezekiel got a vision of them. And here's what a little description of them is in verse 13 of Ezekiel 1. It says, as for the likeness of the living creatures, or those four living ones, or the cherubim, their appearance was what? Like what? Burning coals of fire. Like the appearance of what? Of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures. Oh, that fire. And the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. We're running, aren't we? Well, praise God, we're going to return. And it's going to be in a flash, hallelujah, of lightning. Now, always remember, there's no other light in the holy place but the lamp. There's no light for the golden table set for two without the fire burning first. Without the Holy Ghost in us and in the fullness, there's no further fellowship into the Holy of Holies. And all I can say is, Lord, let it burn bright. Amen. Lord, hallelujah. Let it just burn bright and bright and bright and bright. And I'll tell you one thing. He's going to take us out of the presence of this world here pretty soon. And I thank God for that. Don't you? Amen. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And I thank God we have it all. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.